For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This is Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3, where we analyze Deep Space Nine and Star Trek from a political and historical lens, episode by episode. I'm watching DS9 with fresh eyes, and Scott is our veteran Trek fan. We are discussing Season 3 of DS9, Episode 4, Equilibrium. Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
Yes, of course I can. At Ben's quarters, he and his family have the main squad over for dinner to have New Orleans cuisine. As we know, Ben's father has a restaurant on Earth, and they're making this food. And Odo and Kira flirt, and we find out that Bashir doesn't like beets. And Jadzia sees this keyboard and says that, you know, the Daxes have never been good at music, but out of nowhere is able to play a song with proficiency. And we go to Jadzia and Ben are playing chess, and Jadzia can't get the song out of their head. They've been whistling it and humming it, and she's getting irate and accuses Sisko of cheating. And this thing that she sometimes does when she gets upset with Ben on the show is she'll be like, you know, Curzon always felt this and felt that. And because as we know that Jadzia Dax was previously Curzon Dax, and Curzon Dax called Old Man by Sisko, they were friends. So there's this sort of thing that goes on. And, you know, Jadzia is just inconsolable. And Kira tries to talk to her, and Jadzia is like, get the hell away from me, threatens violence. And the song just keeps on luring Jadzia. And then she starts hallucinating a person in a mask, under a mask, under a mask. And Quark catches her, you know, falling. And at the sick bay, she's like, comes to, and she feels bad about treating people poorly. And we find out that something called isoberamine is affecting the relationship with the symbiote. And the host before Curzon actually lost their symbiote due to being in a coma and the isoberamine being too low. And as we know, that if a Trill and a symbiote are disconnected, the Trill dies. And we know that in the Trill homeworld, they are connected to these symbiotes that live a long amount of time and are attached to Trill hosts for generations, and it's complex because then the next incursion will take on some of their previous hosts, but also are their own person. So, and so they really want to make sure that Jadzia doesn't reject the symbiote. And so they go to the Trill homeworld and they go on the Defiant. And on the Defiant, Jadzia and Bashir have a nice talk, and she stays in his quarters as friends. And Bashir is like actually respectful, doesn't try to play any moves. And on the homeworld, they do a bunch of tests. And we find, you know, it's brought up that Jadzia was the first Trill to reapply for the symbiote program after being declined. And she's getting medicine for the levels and trying to get her okay. But back on the Defiant, Jadzia hallucinates the masked man again and sees members of the Symbiosis Commission wearing outfits that are dated. And Jadzia is confused because she can't remember having a memory like this. So they go to the Caves of Makala, which is also the symbiont breeding grounds where the symbionts come out of into existence, and they talk through electricity, and it's pretty cool. And we meet Timur, who's a guardian of the symbionts, and he recognizes Jadzia, but immediately notices something is off. So he's like, "How bad are the dreams?" And Jadzia's like, "It's not a dream. It's not a freak out. It's a memory." And Timur says that the past hosts are out of balance and they need to do more tests. Something is off. And then they're able to find the piece of music that Jadzia has been humming. It was written by a Trill musician, Joran Baylor, 86 years ago. This initiates the vision of a masked man killing someone and taking the mask off. It is Joran Baylor. And Jadzia Dax goes into shock. And Jadzia's levels of Iruru, the thing, is getting low. And if it doesn't get better, they will have to remove the symbiont. And Sisko and Bashir go to see Timur, who says he can't help, but he looks nervous and they believe that he's lying. They posit that the Trill don't want them to investigate what's going on. And Bashir and Sisko can't find much information of Joran, and the information they're able to find has clearly been doctored and expunged from the record. And they note that Baylor died the same day as Taurius Dax, which was the same day Curzon received Dax. So they're like, something's up. So Bashir and Sisko reach out to Joran's brother, who's still alive, and he doesn't understand why the record was tampered. He says that Joran was part of the Symbiosis Commission and killed the doctor that recommended he be dropped from the program and was killed while trying to escape, and says that he spoke to his brother a few months before his death, and he was noted that felt like he was talking to a different person, and Joran says that he was joined, that he was with a symbiont. So Sisko thinks that Joran was a host in between Taurius and Curzon. And at the hospital, the Trill Commission are getting ready to take the Dax symbiont outside out of Jadzia. So Jake and Bashir realize that Joran was joined to Dax for 6 months, a move that should have never happened because Joran was a violent man and all of this is being covered up, including that there was a memory block on Jadzia, which is starting to come undone, which is creating all this discomfort within Jadzia. And the committee is willing to let Jadzia die as to not let the info about that they realized out. So they claim that only 1 in 1,000 Trills can be merged with the symbiont, but actually it is closer to 50%. So that, knowing that, would cause unease. The danger of this information would destroy the Trill symbiont environment. So they are told by Sisko that if you don't save Jadzia, I'm going to tell everybody this, and you do not want to mess with this ecosystem. So they are going to cure Jadzia, but to allow Jadzia to recover, they must reintegrate Joran into Dax, and and Jadzia accepts and goes to the birthing pools. The symbiont talks to Jadzia. Jorin appears in the pool, and Jadzia has them enter back into them. They are one. Back on Deep Space Nine, Sisko checks in on Jadzia. She is feeling better, and when he leaves, she goes to her keyboard and plays the song she's been humming the whole episode.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. So, I enjoyed this episode because of the long setup. I can't think of it in isolation, but as a continuation of a story. The whole symbiote program is based on eugenics and the scam of meritocracy.
Yep.
And this episode made that explicit. Even willing to kill Jadzia to save the secret and save the symbiote. There were definitely purposeful Nazi parallels, but also of feudal society. I saw the Guardians as feudal European eunuchs. So they're willing to do anything it takes to cover up the secret, because what the elite and the status quo fears is revolution. The whole thing is reactionary. And another DS9 example of keeping a secret for the greater good being just a scam. And we've talked about how with the symbiote episodes, the solution at the end is usually liberalism, meaning change things just for the one individual rather than challenge the system. And that's the way it's been thus far. But I can only analyze the episodes that are presented, not the ones that will be presented. This episode also makes a metaphor for history. Whether personal family history or even your national history, there's always skeletons in the closet people are trying to hide or not acknowledge or deny. Jadzia wants to embrace the totality of her history, which I respect. A lot of people can't do that when it comes to their family or their country, which goes back to the idea of a lie being able to upend everything. Scott, you and I are old enough to have enough examples of how lies can be revealed and people can deny it, ignore it, individualize it as one bad example, or just say they like that shit. Again, this can be national history and family history. People know meritocracy is bullshit and nothing has upended. I mean, George Floyd protests plus the pandemic and lack of healthcare and disproportionate deaths of BIPOC and poor, lack of COVID vaccines for the world, the IP. And we also had Stop Asian Hate and constant massacres and still the murdering of Black people by police. And that's mostly just the domestic stuff. And we're still back to brunch. Which is to say, revealing the truth isn't enough. Truth is nothing without organized power. And that's why the US has always been dismantling organizing efforts and organized power. That's why their military and police are so armed and why they arm the reactionaries so they can do the work of the state for free. Look at how they undermine unions. Look at this regime's recent work with railroad bosses against the union and the subsequent chemical disaster that happened after that. Look at the recent expose about how the US still infiltrates civil rights movements and tries to sabotage them and cause false flag attacks within their own borders to then have the cause to wipe these groups out. I could go on and on. And this connects back to even the previous episode, The House of Quark, about how when it's done by, to your point, procedure, when it's done by paperwork, people, I don't want to say don't pay attention, but there's a bias against it. It's evolutionary, right? We are more used to fight or flight for direct threats. When the threat is indirect, happening slowly, happening all the time, it's confusing, then it's hard for us to recognize the the same threat. And that's why, again, it goes back to then organized power, where you need some kind of force like that to help unpack this, take your sense of like something is off and help you understand what's going on, and then be like, okay, now all of us combine our efforts and we can do something with that feeling. We can do something about this procedural oppression happening to us. We could do something about this truth. Like, now that we know something, what do we do about it, right? Otherwise, it's just ideas in our heads. It's just memes, meaning an idea that a lot of us have, but doesn't necessarily do anything. So unlike the true elites, the US elites aren't shaking in their boots about any revelation, because there's a difference between power and absolute power. In this episode, the true elites seem to have power, which is why they're fearful of revolution. The US has absolute power, which is why they could even release, with the Freedom of Information Act, stuff that they've done. They make sure to release it like 25, 50, 75, even to 100 years later and redacted. But still, they're like, yeah, now you know. Okay, what are you going to do, right? And it's like every time it gets released, there's barely anything written about all those releases. And you have to follow somebody, a nerd, right, online, who's like, this happened. This is what we did. We should care about this, right? And because there's no grassroots power, there's no socialist party, there's no bigger movement, a lot of this just doesn't go anywhere. So this episode, both episodes, this one and the previous one, dealt with a lot of politics. And I think in an interesting way, they made it like open-ended enough for us to like have bigger discussions, because they weren't like preaching to us in both of these episodes. So Scott, what did you get from this episode?
Well, from a enjoying of the episode standpoint, I just thought it was a well-written, well-acted, fun Dax episode. I always like Dax episodes. I like playing into the character and the lore and finding out a little more about the homeworld and what they're willing to do to maintain the status quo, the lies that they're willing to upkeep and willing to let people die. I just thought it was very interesting and intriguing, and I second what you've been saying about how it goes in the real world, that we're just willing to uphold lies and let people die for status quo, and often now when the information is even presented, no one really cares, which, again, not really happening in the episode, but I thought it was a good episode. I give it a 4. It's mythological in that we develop Dax a little more, but it's very much a standalone episode in my mind.
Now, since I'm not somebody who watched this when I was young, I could kind of imagine myself if I had watched it when I was young, in my teen years, and my reaction back then probably would have been like, hey, this is cool, this is fun. You know, I would have enjoyed the episodes, right? I mean, enjoyed it for what they were. Whereas now, watching it with today's eyes is probably hitting me differently, as in each episode is a little bit more somber, like makes me more sad and more bummed out than if I had watched this as a teenager, because I wouldn't have been able to connect all the themes of the episode to things in real life. I wasn't old enough and I didn't know enough to connect anything. So I just would be taking Star Trek and seeing it in a vacuum, right?
Yeah, this is an episode that I skipped on the rewatch and probably didn't think much of it when I watched it when I was a kid. And again, when I watched it, I wasn't very political minded. The closest thing I had was that I was really into Rage Against the Machine, but that was very cursory, peripheral, until I had a high school teacher, not high school, junior high school, excuse me. My first day of eighth grade, I walk into class with a Rage Against the Machine t-shirt, and my teacher's like, oh, you like Rage Against the Machine? They're cool. They're political. They're really about the Zapatista movement. And I said, what's the Zapatista movement? He's like, I want a paper on this tomorrow. And that was one of my first forays probably into leftism.
Hey, that's a good teacher.
Great teacher. Mr. Yu, fantastic man, changed my life.
Because he took something you brought up, connected it to something, and then used that to make a teachable moment spontaneously.
Yeah. And it turned out that he was a big science fiction head too. He would sometimes let people use the VHS to watch like Blade Runner and cool shit like that.
Nice. Yeah. I could see how like this episode, if I was a kid, probably seems like pure fantasy. It's like, oh, it's like fantasy stuff that can't happen in real life with symbiotes and like different aliens and that's that, right? But then you look at it again and you're like, oh, wow, they're making actual allusions to like Joseph Mengele and like Nazi eugenics and like feudal society and like cover-ups and all this stuff we miss, because at face value, it just seemed like fantasy stuff. So, you know, I guess that is the appeal of Trek. It has multiple layers where it could hide stuff behind that superficial layer of fantasy.
Exactly.
And that's probably true for a lot of sci-fi. That's probably why a lot of people do like sci-fi.
Yeah, it's escapism. And also, I said Torin Dax. I meant to say Tobin Dax. I apologize.
All right.
Forgive me.
Now, Scott, can you tell us a bit about the next episode?
Next episode is Second Skin. Kira gets into a situation that she probably would not expect.
Until then. If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.